I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Our reading is taken from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in Him, in Christ, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. In these human words, God's word is heard. For the last installment of our teaching series on queer theology, we are talking about queering the church. But then, how do you queer an already queer church like MCC? It's redundant, right? Anyway, so queering the traditional and mainline church seems to be clear-cut. Being doctrinally, theologically, and structurally rigid, most of the time, and in most cases, even among progressive churches, we clearly see the need to deconstruct and therefore queer the traditional mainline churches. And when we say churches, we mean the people and their leadership or hierarchies of leadership. There is a need to break open these churches to welcome the strange and the different from the outside, as well as the strange and the different from among them and within them. There is a need for them to rediscover the goodness and power of the body, the human body, which includes the desires, sexualities, and genders. Their desires, sexualities, and genders. Moving away or totally deconstructing and transgressing their patriarchal heteronormative concepts of God, and customary practices of relationship, family, and marriage. All this work of deconstruction and transgression within mainline churches must happen in order for them to become the better and best embodiment of Christ in their communities and in the world. The point of all of this queering of the mainline churches is simply, how does the mainline churches believe and practice love in today's contextual realities? Hence, the need to queer the mainline churches. But how do you do that for an already queer, non-traditional church such as MCC? How do you transgress an already transgressive and transgressing church? How do you deconstruct an already deconstructed and fluid church? How do you embody a church who's already very much embodied in sexuality, gender identity, and soji diversity? How can a queer church become any more stranger and different? How can a queer and fluid church who has always proclaimed love and acceptance become even more loving? So I want to repeat, when we say church, that we mean, what we mean by the word church is the people who constitutes as a self-organizing community. So the question of queering the church is a question of how do we go further in queering the people in their beliefs and practices. To be queer means to be strange, different, transgressive, embodied, becoming, and also grounded on love. Now, what I'm offering today, what I'm talking about today, the wisdom, if we can call it wisdom, and I consider it as wisdom, comes from our former pastor, Pastor Kakay Pamaran. In one of our many conversations once upon a time, she once told me, and I quote from I quote and paraphrase from memory, she said, "I thought that when you became pastor, you will radically shift the church to a more high church orientation." And then I asked her what she meant by that. Ano ba yung ibig niya sabihin? She explained further, and again I paraphrase from memory, "Well, what would be queer in a queer church? How would that look like? Is it not that to queer a queer church is to employ that which is the antithesis? And what is antithetical to a queer church than for it to have a kind of structure that resembles mainline churches, especially a high church? A high church like the Roman Catholic Church." So I reflected on that and gave it a thought for quite some time. Now, the difficulty here is that LGBTQI plus persons, queer persons of faith, especially those who came to Open Table MCC, have been wounded and offended by the church of their childhood. So when Open Table MCC tries to draw a line on ethics or tries to offer extensive programming for spiritual formation and Christian education, these things scare queer people. Because these things are things that were found or had some semblance in their former churches. A lot of spiritual formation also, and Christian education, even from a progressive and queer perspective, and I think this is all the more present in progressive perspectives, calls the church, calls the people of God towards uncomfortable truths, commitments that demand effort, and new relationships that require being vulnerable. It also means that, I mean, it doesn't mean that simply because we are a queer church, we have rejected or lost practices like Bible studies, prayer practices, and volunteering. But the sad truth is that it seems like for a queer-affirming church, Bible studies, prayer practices, and volunteering in church have lost their appeal and their power to inspire. A queer church does not mean to say anything goes, and we are as we wish. A queer church means that as individuals and as a community, we are called to set our foundations and to set our boundaries. Not in a rigid way, and not in a way that is completely 100% similar to the traditional churches that we have come from, but foundations and boundaries nonetheless. From these foundations and boundaries, we are then called towards intentional spiritual growth through spiritual formation. To queer an already queer church, queer people of faith, is for each one of us to rediscover the transformative power of the various programs of spiritual formation. We must rediscover and reconstruct some of the beautiful and meaningful traditions of the church without resubscribing to things we have already rejected, like patriarchy and misogyny. We must be willing to allow ourselves to be changed and modeled anew through prayer, study, and service. Prayer, study, and service remains essential in the Christian life, in Christian life, even among queer Christians in a queer church. To proclaim that God loves you, that God loves us as LGBTQI plus Christians, did not mean to say that we are free to do anything that we want. On the contrary, God's inclusive love allows us and calls us to participate in the many areas of church life and ministry that were once off limits to us. To be progressive, queer, and critical did not mean to say to throw away our history, traditions, and many wonderful elements of the church in all of its 2,000 years of history. Because ultimately, the history and traditions of the church is rooted in no less than Jesus Christ, the one that we follow. Good or bad, for better or for worse, for the bad things that happen and the bad elements there is, and for the good and the beautiful and the meaningful things that are in history and church traditions, all of them traces their way back to their source, which is Christ Himself, the one that we claim to follow. As a queer church, we must be able to hear and listen to the distant voice of the Holy Spirit echoing, whispering through the 2,000 years of church tradition, even as the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, is also speaking to us in our present time. This is the strange thing about those progressive and queer pastors and theologians. What I have noticed about them, despite their radical theologies and interpretations, is that these theologians and pastors draw from the well of Christian history and tradition. One of my most admired progressive and queer pastor is Reverend Nadia Bolz Weber. Now, despite having a remarkable yet unconventional life story, not someone you would think to be called into ordained ministry, despite her radical and creative theological ideas, she openly and often confesses that she is very orthodox and traditional in her Lutheran faith. Many of the queer and progressive pastors or priests that I know, with all of their quirkiness in their queer beliefs and queer theology discourses, are people with deep spiritual practices rooted in the tradition, liturgy, and sacraments of the church. And so, we must, as a queer church and as queer people of faith, we must humbly accept that despite being progressive and queer affirming, we are still a work in progress. Like all other churches, we are still a work in progress. God is not yet done with us. Being affirmed as an LGBTQI person by a queer affirming church, by being accepted, by declaring that God loves us just the way that we are, is not the end goal. It's not yet the finish line. It is just the first step towards healing. It's the first step towards healing, restoration, wholeness, and holiness. The process and the journey has just begun. It continues for you, for me, as an individual, and for us as a church. So how do we queer an already queer church? Prayer, study, and service. Number two, firm foundations in Christ and flexible boundaries. Lastly, spiritual formation through the meaningful history and traditions of the church while remaining critical, progressive, and queer. And who is the queer church? You and me. Each one of us, a member and a part of the body, we are the queer church, progressive and progressing, queer and queering, transformed and transforming always.